There's no joy there. The joy is in the relationship. Well, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. If you don't have one, there should be one under the seat in front of you. It's either a hymnal or a Bible there. I think the red ones are the Bibles. James is in the back of the New Testament, just before John and Peter and Revelations, right after Hebrews, if you're getting to know your way around God's Word. This isn't the first time that James talked about the tongue, is it? By the way, how many people were amused by my bulletin cover? It's so funny. Bonnie and I went back and forth about this. She's like, this is awful. Don't put that on the bulletin cover. I'm like, it's great. All right, how many people think this was a great bulletin cover? Raise your hand. How many people were like, why is that on the bulletin? I think the eyes have it. Yes. Oh, that was fun. That was fun. You got to have a little fun in church sometimes, don't you? Well, anyway, so you won't forget what this is about, will you? It's about the tongue. And James, this isn't just the first time he talked about it. We heard about it a little bit in chapter 1. And he's not the only one to teach on it either. Paul taught about the tongue. Peter taught about the tongue. And who else? Jesus talked about the mouth and the tongue and the words very much, yeah. But let's think about what we're talking about here in context. Because remember, when you study God's Word, you've always got to keep in mind the context with which it was written, right? What did the writer say before that? What was he talking about? Who did he write this to, and why did he write this? Those are all important to help us to understand Scripture, because it's not something you have to try to figure out an allegory for. It says, guard your tongue. Okay, that's pretty simple. But in context, what was last week's message about? It was about faith and what? Faith and deeds, right? And we said it was about whether or not our lives had works in them and fruits in them, things that we did, the works that we did. And James was teaching us that works, the good things we do, are not things that you have to add on to your faith for salvation. It's what actually qualifies our faith as being real. When our faith is real, there will be works. If the faith isn't real, and there's no life change, then all it is a picture, it's a reflection of the faith. Is it real? Then there will be works. No works? Check to make sure that faith is real. James was just qualifying what the faith was. And he said, faith without works is what? Dead. So now he's talking, he's continuing to say, he starts off chapter 3 and says, not many of you, this is pretty strong stuff, should be teachers. Because we know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. There's a higher standard, Scripture teaches us, for those who will take roles as teachers. Is that necessarily only pastors? What do you think? No? Are there lots of different ways that you can teach people? Absolutely. You can lead a small group in your home. You can sit down to lunch with a coworker and say, let me tell you about what God's Word says. You're teaching, right? We need to recognize that when we step out into that place of talking about what God has given us, there is a standard that we need to hold. But he goes on to say, but more than that, I want to talk to you about the tongue, about the words we say. He says, first of all, in verse 2, he says, we all stumble, right? James right on that? Yep, we all stumble. It says, but anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. They're able to keep their whole body in check. Isn't that interesting? How important the tongue is and how we what we say. So let's go ahead and read the rest of this verses we're going to go into. Let's stand together as we dig into God's word. Let's read how what James will be teaching us about today. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Father, we pray that your Spirit who is here with us, and we thank you, Spirit, for being here with us. Thank you for indwelling us as your children, that you would speak to us and teach us. Open up our minds that we might open up our lives before you and hear what you would have for us. For our blessing and for your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, I'm going to go through the most of the teaching of James fairly quickly. He starts off saying, don't be deceived by its size. All right? The tongue is just this little part of us. And he uses the example of a bit for a horse. That's it right there. The round thing is attached to a piece of metal or a strap that goes. You got the horse's head. You got the front teeth. I think that are for biting grass. And there's a space. And then there's the back teeth, which are for grinding up the hay and what it eats. And right in between those is where the bit goes. It goes right in his mouth between there. And the rider just gives a tug either way, and the horse knows which way to go. How many people have ridden horses before? They can be awful big when you get on top of them, can't they? You get up there. They always put me on the big horses when my family went horseback riding when we go camping. Let's give the dad the 10-foot-tall horse. I'm like, oh, man. They're big, big animals, but you know what? Could that little guy, if he knew how, direct that horse? Yeah, the horse will go whatever way he tugs on the bridle. Ship's the same way. Little small thing in the back of this large ship directs the course of that ship, doesn't it? Yeah. And then he uses the idea of fire. It says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark, right? All it takes, just one spark. And you can set, we've seen the forest fires out in California. Terrible, billions of dollars worth of destruction. Could have been started by something as small as a match, right? And fire can be terribly powerful. It can destroy things, houses, forests. It can burn people, cause explosions. I mean, there's tremendous things that fire can do. But does it have its benefits too? Sure, yeah. It's good. In a couple of months, we're going to be glad we've got fire. Because it's going to be what heats our house, right? It gives us energy to heat our homes. It's what we use to cook, right? You can use it to purify things. They even use it to stop forest fires, don't they? Yeah, they'll start fires, controlled fires, so that the forest fire runs out of things to burn. And so, yeah, fire can be very positive as well. But in this case, James goes on to say, the tongue is also a fire. Boy, James is pretty strong, isn't he, on a lot of things. He doesn't mince words, really. He says, the tongue is a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James, tell us how you really feel. I mean, that's some strong words, isn't it? James is saying the tongue is a world of evil and can corrupt the whole body. Now, when we think about, you compare it to other parts of the body, I mean, how much, in comparison to the mouth, how much damage and hurt can a finger do compared to the tongue? It could do some. I could go down and poke you in the eye. Have you ever had, you know how much damage the tongue can do? How many people have experienced hurt by someone else's words? Every last one of us have experienced a hurtful. And you know that old thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. How many people think that's true? Yeah. I'll tell you what, those words can hang around. Whether it's names or belittling or always being critical or always putting down, that stuff can stick for an awful long time. It can. So the knee, I might be able to hurt somebody with my knee, but you see the difference? James is saying it's that tongue. That tongue can be a world of evil. And it says it can set the whole course of your life on fire. You ever know somebody whose words were just critical and negative, and it just characterized their life? It can do that. It can do that. And James says, you know what? If you're not careful, it can be set on fire by hell itself. Satan can sure get a hold of our mouths, can't he? If he ever wants to get a hold of something in our life and use us for something that's against God, he'll use this thing. He'll use this thing. Yeah. The tongue speaks thoughts. Thoughts that can cause somebody else to think things. It speaks ideas that can be good or bad. It can speak truths. It can speak falsehoods and deceptions. Right? It can ruin or build reputations. It can gossip. Just talked to somebody last night, not from this church, who, a family member, talking about something that was shared in confidence, broke this person's heart, just weeping. It can speak anger and hate. It can speak and build up others and self, or it can tear them down. The tongue can do a lot. And I'm sorry, but he goes on, as James sometimes can. It says, here's the bad news. People have trained all kinds of things and critters in this world, but no one has ever been able to tame the tongue. How's that for good news? What? I can't tame it. There's nothing I can do about this. He says it's full of deadly poison. How are we saved? By what? By grace through faith, right? Grace being God doing in love in us and through us what we could never do ourselves. Forgiving us of our sins, bringing us from death to life, making us a dead old creation into a new living creation. Those are things that only God can do, and he does them out of his love, grace. In his love, doing things in us we could never do, ever do ourselves. We need grace when it comes to the tongue. You need God to do this in you, because no man, no woman has ever tamed their own tongue. Got that? You won't do it yourself. You will not. He goes on to say, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings that have been made in his image and in his likeness. We do both of these things out of the same mouth. Comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. I'm in verse 11. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? He says, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You want fresh water, but you're getting salty water? Is the problem the pump? My pump's broken. It's putting out salty water. No, what's the problem? You want olives, but you're getting figs? You're looking at this. What's with the figs? I want olives. How come I keep getting figs on this tree, right? We're so confused. God says we want praise and blessing, but we're getting curses. He goes on in verse 45 to say, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. This is Jesus' words. I'm sorry. I'm in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart. And then Jesus goes on to say, an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Pretty simple. How come I keep getting figs? Because it's not a fig, it's a fig tree. How come I keep getting salty water? Because the spring that your water is coming from is salty. How come my words are so caustic? How come this person's words are so hurtful? Because their heart is broken. The problem is not the tongue, it's what the tongue is attached to, isn't it? Yeah. If our tongue finds itself cutting down people rather than building people up, if what tends to come out of our mouth is negative rather than positive, then we have to look to what the tongue's attached to. Whatever the heart is full of, the mouth will speak, right? It's what will come naturally. Am I critical with someone or constructive? So instead of, isn't this good news? That's not the solution to taming your tongue. Isn't that good news? You don't have to do this to yourself, to your tongue, to rein your tongue in. I got to try to control that tongue. There's a better way. There's a better way. Ask God to change the source that's here. Ask him to change and transform your heart. This is where grace comes in. God, you've said in your word, I cannot tame my tongue. I cannot. So would you change what my tongue is attached to? Change me. Make me a different person. Change my heart. And that requires us to humble ourselves. Say, God, I am in need of your grace. I am in need of you to do something in me that I cannot do for myself. Would you please, in your love, change my heart? Lay yourself out before his love because he loves you. He wants to bring blessing in your life. Acknowledge his lordship. Father, I have to humble myself and say, I'm not my own. I've been bought with the price, and that's the body and blood of Jesus. You own me, so change me. I confess you, Jesus, as Lord of my life. You do with this heart what you need to do with this heart. You have ownership over me. And the good news is, it's always good when your Lord and your Master is a God of love. And what he does, he will do to bless you. It will do for your good. So this verse in Ezekiel, I thought was pretty appropriate. He was telling this to the Israelites who were in exile at the time. They had over and over again gone their own way, resisted God, and they had lost their nation. They were exiled. And he said, even then, he said, in the future, I will restore Israel. I will give them an undivided heart, no longer divided between me and God, but fully God's. And I will remove from them their heart of stone, the hard heart, and give them a heart of flesh. God wants to just break up the hardness of our hearts and give us a tender, soft, shapeable, moldable heart so that when we are interacting with our friends, and maybe when negative is what tends to come out with this person, God, you'll begin to change me, and I'll begin to try to bring positive into that person's life. Maybe as I'm parenting my kids and they're getting on my last nerve yet again, that rather than cutting down, Lord, you'll change my heart to be one to say, I'm going to start building him or her up. I'm not going to be the one to say, you did it wrong again. See, I told you not to do that. I told you you were supposed to do that. But rather come alongside and the first of our rare joy qualities, remain relational in the midst of conflict. Relationship is more important than the problem. Relationship is more important than the problem. So when you have that conflict with the child, that you'll build up. God, give me a heart of blessing and of grace. Acknowledge the process. How many people are in the process of God changing them? Yeah, we're all. Anybody got there? All finished? God's done with you yet? That's all done? Fixed? Yeah, me neither. We're all in the process. And God in his love wants to take us through the process. So when your spouse, you have those times of conflict, that maybe the natural, what your tendency has become criticalness. Say, God, help me, Lord, to be constructive, because there's going to be problems and differences. But Lord, help me to offer constructive things rather than critical things. Finger-pointing things. God, help me to be have a new heart Break up the hardness that is there. Give me a heart full of the grace that I've received from you. Maybe that troubled person in your life, instead of trying to keep them at arm's length because I don't want them in my life or their troubles, and we're interacting with them out of fear, God, give me a heart that interacts with them out of love, right? Not a fear-based, I got to protect myself from something, but a love-based. God, how can I bless this person? That's fear-based is me-focused, right? Protection. Love-based is other-focused. How can I bless? How can I love that person? Even for a church family. You know what we can do sometimes in church too much? Complain. Well, this was this, and how come we don't do that, and blah, 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 blah. Maybe let what comes out rather than be a heart of complaining, but a heart of prayer, to become part of the prayer that lifts the church up. That happens when we begin to quiet our hearts and listen to God and say, all right, you look into my heart and see what you need to change and make different in me. And God in his love wants to do that. He wants to take your hardened heart and give you an undivided heart of flesh, a soft heart that's willing to be tender towards God and tender towards others. And what a blessing that will be. So now the tongue doesn't get tamed so much. It's that the heart gets changed. And then what comes out of the mouth? Whatever the heart is full of. God, help me to be full of your love. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we close. We've got some... Can we have that last slide up, Grant? Yeah, the last one, put it back up again. I just have some little cards here that pretty much have the heart and the verse there that you can take with you to say, God, yeah, I have some work to do with my tongue, but in reality, it's the heart that you need to work on. And just come and grab one of these. If you want to take a minute to pray at the altar or just worship here, stand up front and worship, or take it back to your seat and just say, God, you're the potter, I'm the clay. You do in my heart what needs to happen so that I can be a person whose tongue is overflowing with the good things you're doing in my heart. Okay? These are here for you to just come and take, put it in your Bible as a reminder that he's still working on me. Remember that children's song? He's still working on me to make me what he wants to be, what I want to be or need to be. Let that be that reminder.